Good afternoon. My name is Natalia Castillo, and I work for the ArcLife Research Center. And this is the reason why I am interested in working with salinity. We see that 20% of the world has salinity problems, and it's due mainly based because of the environmental changes and the overworked lands and the lack of good irrigation practices that have been taking place. The degrees of salinity, it change based on those environments. And we have plants that they have adapted through time, and they have been transformed from halophytes to glycophytes. And halophytes, just keep in mind that they are those plants that they are adapted to environments in saline, very saline environments. While glycophytes, an example of it is cotton, it is salt tolerant, but to a certain low degree. So salt tolerance, we like to know, is, of course, is that it be able for a plant to survive or sustain the life cycle in spite of the tolerance levels. And there are two mechanisms that are very important for this adaptability to take place. One is the osmotic adaptation, and then to be able to sustain all the growth in spite of all these toxicities and to be able to endure and continue its normal metabolic functions. The mechanisms of salt tolerance vary between plants, of course, between marine plants, for instance, and terrestrial plants. At the same time, it does change between the location or the different places throughout the plant, from the roots or the turgor or the stem or the leaves. My research objective initially was to be able to find out, using wild cotton germplasm for all over the world, to be able to find a cultivar that exhibits some kind of tolerance to the salinity levels, and then be able to pull that cultivar and create new segregation populations to obtain better fiber quality. So the experimental design has been done in four different levels. The first part is doing the seed germination, then second using a hydroponic system, then planted into the soil, and then looking into or gathering information for fiber data. The seed germination, you can see that looking at wild cultivars, I have a variety of analysis based on seed size, hairiness, formation, shape, and this can be measured as part of the data that needs to be collected. In addition to that, the seeds, because the seed coat is very hard at times with working with wild cultivars, we have to do a scarification or hot treat it to be able to break the seed coat. After this, the seeds are placed in a germinator for 5 days in paper towels. And once the seed germinates and it grows into a small plant, we can be able to extract information from the roots and as well for the stems. In the hydroponic system, how it works? Well, these are the little plants, seedlings that they have been germinated. And so they're put in place on an orifice, pipette, which is being modified for this specific use. And then within the hydroponic system, I have 4 replications, and each replication consists of 320 plants. Within that block, randomized block, I can do about 16 different cultivars of wild plants. Why choosing the hydroponic system? Well, within this hydroponics, I am able to be differentiate between susceptible, tolerant, and resistant cultivars. Some of the sample that or the treatments are by adding salt treatments of 3,000 parts per million every 48 hours. And that continues for about 5 days, and observations are taking place, and then continue with the treatments depending on their response or to the plants. Once these plants are being pulled out from the hydroponics, they can be placed into another hydroponic system that has been modified here. And then if they sustain the tolerance with the continued treatment, then they're placed into a soil potting. During this analysis, some microscopic study was done. Using the optical microscope, I was able to allocate clusters of salt within the cells due mainly to compartmentalization and the osmotic pressure that is taken, so it's able to see the response. We have a differentiation between salt excluders and salt increased plants. An example of it in excluders are grasses in which most of the behavior takes place in the root and is transported from the roots all the way through the plant, through this, to the silent sap, and then goes back into the soil. In different from this effect, the salt includers, we have those plants that are usually succulent, and we can incorporate into these the cotton cultivars. They are mostly taken by the soil, in the soil, and then they will can be excreted through the stem and through the leaves. Another type of microscope used was the transmission electron microscope, and within this study, we found a lot of starch formations, excessive starch formations in comparison to a normal cell. Passing on into a scanning electron microscope, we are able to look at the morphology of the response to the salt treatments. In here, this is a very interesting images, and I'm going to kind of follow, let you see some of the responses for the leaves in cotton on this special cultivar that using this kind of electron microscope. So this image is at 21 parts per million, and then we have some of these stomata changes that takes place over time, and we can see some salinity, salt excreted in the leaves. The same here, we have some in the stomata, how some of the salt is being excreted. I thought these pictures were very interesting to continue, to gather information to continue with the study. And then, of course, with the trichome cells, this is important that I will be continuing with this research, looking at the trichome cells as secreted glands for sustained tolerance in salinity. And the last step is looking at the fiber quality. This is mainly observation. The continuation of this research was done in the greenhouse, and so the cultivar who appeared to have the tolerance is called DN1, and it is being compared with 7 commercial lines and treated the same way, with the same treatments, and it is harvest, and then the IFIS instrument data was used to obtain information from the experiment. In the results, we can see that the DN1 cultivar has been shown is an excellent germplasm to be able to study morphological characteristics, physiological, and the behavior of this cultivar in saline environments. So because of the deficiency and the toxicity of the nutrients due to the salinity, we have the leaf tip and burn discoloration on the leaves. We have a membrane disruption, and which the breaks the integrity of the leaves. There is turgor loss, this darkening of the leaf, mortality rate, roots, and shoot ratio characteristics. While doing this experiment, we found that there was some extrusion from the salt treatments on the leaf. As you can see, the droplets, they have their substance made out of glucose and alginic acid. Looking at the alginic acid is found in halophytes, so that is interesting findings, because if this cultivar, which is a wild cultivar, is being found close to the ocean abroad, we are able to maybe find a measure or a way of that has been passed on into this cultivar based on its origin. Looking at the Fourier transform infrared spectra and doing the analysis 3 times, the results were the same. There was presence of alginic acid in the surface of the leaves. So DN1 has shown tolerance through the growth cycle. It is definitely a reduction on the plant height and due to the salinity. The effect of number of leaves and nodes and vigor has decreased. there is compartmentalization, the sodium chloride on the cells. And the most interesting part that I'm trying to look into is trying to find a way to tie together between starch, alginic acid, and cellulose, even though they're, because they're all carbohydrates. So how come this DN1 cultivar is presenting these characteristics of tolerance with this alginic acid present? These are just observations, and looking at the fiber quality from this DN1 cultivar, we can see that the NEP count on this cultivar comparing to the commercial lines is high, and the length, it is short. It is very short right now. It's thick in diameter, and maturity ratio is very mature. It's about 0.9, so that is a good response. The length distribution, we can see that in DN1, most of the fibers, comparing to the other commercial lines, they were much more shorter. So why doing a hydroponics study? Well, hydroponics study is the first step, and it will help me to be able to identify between susceptible to tolerant to resistant. Then another observation is that based on having that first step, then we can look at more farther along at metabolic rate and the different set of actions and osmotic adjustments, compartmentalization, and finally genetics. I am not at this point concerned about the genetic information. I would like to know more about the metabolic system, how it is metabolized, dissolved by in the plants. DN1 presents again the excreted salt in the leaves. It's a halophytic response, which is very important in this glycophytic plant. And more further study is going to be done on how to understand the excretion on this cultivar. These are the references that I have taken from some information and some of the knowledge that I like to present today. My professors that I am working with, Dr. Deaver, and of course all the other participants in my research. And at this time, I would like questions.